Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Tainis daf. Hey, we are holding a daf Dalet Amud Beis. We are it's like 5-6 lines from the end of the page. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and Arnav's wife and children. That's it, right? Yeah. So today we're going to first finish up the discussion about the stira as far as when we start Mashiv Ruach Marta Geshem. Then we're going to get into when to start Mashiv Ruach Marta Geshem in Chutz Laaretz, because if you start in Shmini Atzeres, so we have 2 days of Shmini Atzeres. We have what we call Simchas Torah as well. So when exactly do we start Mashiv Ruach Marta Geshem? Then the Mishnah on the top of Amud Aleph is going to have Machlokas when to stop asking for rain. Now, at what point do we stop saying V'sein Talu Matar? Then the Gemara is going to tell us about the amazing rain and growth of the grain that happened in the days of Yoel after the famine, and they needed grain to grow very, very quickly, and how exactly that happened. And then the majority of the daf is going to record 6 conversations that occurred between Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak, and they're going to talk about what people ate during 7 years of famine. They're going to talk about why it is that Shmuel aged prematurely. They're going to talk about the concept of Yaakov Avinu Lomeis. They're going to talk about the concept of not speaking during a Su'udah. So we're going to have all of that, Be'ez Hashem, among these conversations between Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak. So we left off mamish right in the middle of an inyan on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, and we're trying to deal with the stira as to when it is that we begin to say Mashiv Ruach Marta Geshem. So we said Halan V'Haluhu, that the answer to the stira was when Rabbi Yochanan says that you begin to be maskil, that's when you begin to be Shoal as well. That's for Bnei Bavel, who have Tavua and Peros in the field throughout Chodesh Tishrei. So they begin to be Maskir and to be Shoal only on Zayin Cheshvan, not earlier, because they don't want to ruin whatever is out in the fields, was already been harvested and is out in the field. Whereas Halahu, when Rabbi Yochanan says that the Halacha Zak Rabbi Yehuda, that we begin to be Maskir already on Shmini Atzeres, and that we don't wait till Zayin Cheshvan, that's for Bnei Eretz Yisrael, who harvest the grain from the field in Nisan, and they already gather up all the grain in Tishrei. So you don't have to worry about saying Mashiv Ruach Marta Geshem in Tishrei. So says Gemara, Maishna l'didan, de iso impira b'davar l'dunami isu ole regalim. So kikam Rabbi Yochanan, bizman shein b'esim ikshkayim. Ask the Gemara, well, that doesn't make sense. That chilik between Bnei Bavel and Bnei Eretz Yisrael doesn't make sense. For the Bnei Bavel, why do we begin in Cheshvan? Because we have grain in the field. Well, Bnei Eretz Yisrael have a reason to wait until Cheshvan as well, because they have ole regalim that need to get back home, and if it rains, it's going to be very difficult to travel. So they also should wait until Mar Cheshvan. So it says, no. Kikam Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that we follow Rabbi Yehuda, and we begin to be maskil already on Shmini Atzeres, and that we don't wait till Cheshvan. That's Bizman Shein Beis Hamikdash Kayim. That's when there's no Beis Hamikdash. So when there's no Beis Hamikdash, there are no Olei Regalim. There's nobody that has to get back home, and there's no concern for the traveling. Oh, once we're going to say that there's a difference between when there is and there isn't a Beis Hamikdash, Hashadasis Lahachi Hava Halid. Do. We don't need to distinguish and say that the answer to the stira is between the Bnei Bavel and Bnei Eretz Yisrael. It could be that both what Rabbi Yehuda said that which we pass like Rabbi Yehuda and that which we say we begin to be Shoel is both that when we begin to be Masker, that's when we begin to be Shoel. They're both about Bnei Eretz Yisrael, meaning both the idea of Shmini Atzeres and Cheshvan, they're both about Bnei Eretz Yisrael. When there was a Beis HaMikdash, we would hold off until Askaris Kesham, until Zayin Cheshvan. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, though, no reason to hold off, and therefore we start right away on Shmini Atzeres. Says Gemara, a new question. Now that we say that we're going to start Mashiv Ruach Marta Geshem on Shmini Atzeres, what do you do in Chutz Laaretz, where we have 2 days of Shmini Atzeres? Which day do we start Mashiv Ruach Marta Geshem? Summer Rav, on both days we start, says the first answer. Rav is the first answer. On both days we start. What do you mean on both days we start? If we start on the first day, then you're not starting on the second day. Yes, you are, because you start and then you stop. You start at Musaf on the first day, and then you don't say Mashiv Ruach Marta Geshem, that Mincha, that Marav, the next morning Shachris, and then Simchas Torah Musaf, Tfilas Geshem again. And you start Mashiv Ruach Marta Geshem again. So Amalu Shmuel says to Rav, Someone or Shmuel says to the Amoraim who reported what Rav said, you better go tell Rav, go tell Abba. Abba is Rav. I don't understand how you could possibly do that. Once on the first day of Shmini Atzeres, you already did Tfilas Geshem at Musaf, so you're declaring that that is Shmini Atzeres. And then you're not going to say Morda Geshem, Mashvarach Morda Geshem at Mincha? Then you're saying that day is really Oshana Rabbah, that it's not yet Shmini Atzeres. You can't take a day that you've already made Kodesh and then treat it like Chol. Ella Amr Shmuel, Shmuel says a second approach. Maskel b'musafin uba mincha. He says, I agree in principle that you start and then you start again the next day. But once you've already started on Shmini Atzeres, to what we call Shmini Atzeres, say Mashvarach Mar Geshem at Musaf, then you have to be consistent and continue at Mincha, say Mashvarach Mar Geshem. But uposeg avos v'shachris. I agree that that Mariv of Simchas Torah and the Shachris of what we call Simchas Torah, you don't say Mashvarach Mar Geshem, and then v'chozer Maskel b'Musafin, and then you begin again at Musaf of Simchas Torah. Rava Amar Rava says a third possible approach to when we say Mashvarach Mar Geshem v'chutz laaretz, kivin shehischil shuveinu posek. You start at Shmini Atzeres and you leave it that way. You don't stop. You keep saying Mashvarach Mar Geshem and Mincha and Mariv of Simchas Torah, Shachris Simchas Torah, v'cheinom Rav Sheshes kivin shehischil shuveinu posek. Va'af Rav Hadarbei, and even Rav eventually came around and changed his mind and also says like Rava and like Rav Sheshes that once you start you don't stop. Dam Rav Chanan olam Rav, because Rav Chanan said in the name of Rav to give a clear simon when you begin to say Geshamim in Galus, Mona Esrim ve'echad yom, Kederek Shemona Asar yom Mirashon Red Yom Kippurim, you count 21 days the same way you count 10 days from Roshan until Yom Kippur, Umaskil, and then you begin mentioning Geshamim, which is, if you count 21 days, then it turns out that you're starting on Shmini Atzeres. V'kivin shehizchil shuveinu posek, and once you start on Shmini Atzeres, you don't stop. Meaning, if you count 21 days, and then on day 22, you actually start saying Mashvarach Mar Geshem, then you're on Shmini Atzeres. So what we call Shmini Atzeres, and once you start, you don't stop. V'ilchsa kivin shehizchil shuveinu posek. And that's the halacha, that once you start saying Mashvarach Mar Geshem, we do not stop saying Mashvarach Umarid HaGeshem. Now there is Maritz Chayis raises the question, why do we bring in Rosh Hashanah Ad Yom HaKippurim over here? He said, oh, just like you count 10 days from Rosh Hashanah until Yom HaKippurim, so too you count 21 days from Rosh Hashanah and then you start Mashvarach Umarid HaGeshem. What do you mean, so too you count 21 days? Just say you count 21 days. Why do we have to mention Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim? So Maritz Chayis points out, because the way that we count from 10 days from Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim is a little bit strange. If you were to ask anybody, you were to show somebody who's uninitiated, never heard of the concept of Aseres Yimei Tshuva, you just show them a calendar that on day one of the month is Rosh Hashanah, day 10 of the month is Yom Kippur, and day 1 and 2 is Rosh Hashanah, and day 10 is Yom Kippur. You would ask him, how many days are there in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? So a person might say, well, from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, there are 9 days. From day 1 until day 10, there are 9 days. Or a person might say, there are 7 days in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because day 1 and 2 is Rosh Hashanah, day 10 is Yom Kippur, days 3 through 9, 7 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. To count 10 days means you're counting both extremes, Me Rosh Hashanah ad Yom Kippurim. So we're saying that same funny way of counting that we do from Rosh Hashanah Ad Yom HaKippur, when we count the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, that's the way you should count the 21 days that we're talking about, that it counts, that you start the count already on Rosh Hashanah, that odd way of counting. Thing is, it's not such a strange way of counting for Chazal. Chazal did count that way. Meaning, when we say that the Ona Beninus for Nida is Shloshim Yom, so what do we mean that the Ona Beninus is 30 days? It does not mean that if a woman becomes a Nida on day one of, let's say on January 1st, then on January 31st, it's the Ona Beninus. That's why, I mean, the Chavos Das has such a sheet, the Ramesh holds that way, but most poskim do not assume that way. It means that on day 30 is the Ona Beninus. So that's the way we count typically when we talk about a Vesas Haflaga and we give numbers. You know, the number always incorporates both extremes as well. So it seems that's the Jewish way of counting. That's the Chazal way of counting. So it's still a little bit funny that the Gemara would have to bring in Rosh Hashanah Ad Yom HaKippurim in order to give us a picture of how to count the 21 days before we begin the Mashav Ruach Morid HaGeshem. Okay, says the Mishnah now, new Mishnah. So Ad Masay Shol and Nesag Shom, until when do we say the same Talmud? I mean, when do we stop saying the same Talmud in Baruch Aleinu? So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Ad Sheyavar HaPesach. Rabbi Yehuda says, until Pesach is over. We already had a discussion whether that means really until Pesach is over, whether that means until the Karban Pesach is over. But Pasha Pshat is, it sounds like it means until Pesach is over. And on Chol HaMoed Pesach, you're still being Shol HaGeshamim. And on Yom Tov Achron Shol Pesach, obviously you're not, because there's no Baruch Aleinu in Shmon Esrei on Yom Tov itself. But it incorporates Chol HaMoed as well. Remeir says, Ad Sheyotza Nisan, even after Pesach, until Chodesh Nisan is over, till Bein Azmanim is over, when the yeshiva guys go back, that's when the Saint Talmud Matar ends. Shenemar v'yor lechem geshem moru umalkosh perishon. That Hashem caused Mora, which is the first rain, and the Malkosh, which is the last rain, in Chodesh Nisan, which is the first of the months of the year. So you see, Chodesh Nisan is a time for rain, and therefore it makes sense to say the Saint Talmud Matar as long as Chodesh Nisan is still going on, because that's what the pasuk says. The pasuk refers to that v'yor lechem geshem moru umalkosh. All Berishon, all during the first month of the year. The Gevurah Sari raises the question, is that pasuk really such a great raya, that the Zman of Geshem is throughout the entire Chodesh Nisan, and not like Rabbi Yehuda says, that at some point in middle of Chodesh Nisan, it stops, we stop asking for rain? The Gemara is going to say that pasuk is talking about what happened in the days of Yoel, after 7 days of famine, where it began to rain in Nisan, because they finally did tshuva, that it should have rained earlier during the winter time, but it wasn't raining because we weren't behaving ourselves. So when we finally did tshuva, it began to rain in Nisan. And the Gemara is going to explain exactly when it rained, and the Gemara is going to tell us that that all the rain was at the first part of the month of Nisan. That pasuk, what that pasuk is describing, that barishon, that the mora umalkosh came down, geshem mora umalkosh came down, barishon meant in the first half of the month of Nisan. And yet the Mishnah is using this pasuk as a raya, that the rain continues throughout the entirety of Chodesh Nisan. So it's a very sharp point. The Gevurah Sari points out that Lechora, the Raya is not a Raya Bechlal. So the Rashash says, yeah, but since the wording of the Pasuk is V'yori Lechem Geshem Moru Malkosh Parishon, and the wording of the Pasuk does not give any more detail than that, so you see that the entire Rishon, the entire Chodesh Rishon, the entire first month, must be a time that it's appropriate for rain, even though in a Chinami, in that year of Yoel that the Gemara is going to describe, after 7 years of famine, they really only needed the rain in the first half of the month because they needed the grain to grow quickly to bring the Karban Omer, so really only had to happen in the first half of the month. But the Raya is not from the story that the Pasuk is describing, the Raya is from the wording of the Pasuk, and the wording of the Pasuk incorporates the entire first month. Sfasema says that even though most of the Tevuah grows in 11 days toward the beginning of the month, but a little bit of the Tevuah grew during the rest of the month as well, and therefore even in the story itself, there must have been rain in the second half of the month as well. So says the Gemara now, Amalei Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak, Yorah ben Nisan? Does Yorah really happen? Does that rain happen during the month of Nisan? Yorah ben Mar Cheshvanu. The first time it rains, the first time it's supposed to rain is in Mar Cheshvan. You're supposed to have a whole winter season where it rains. It's not supposed to happen in Nisan. D'tanya, Yorah ben Mar Cheshvan, Umalkosh ben Nisan. The early rains happened in Mar Cheshvan already, and Nisan is the last rains of the season. So Amalei, so Rav Yitzchak said back to Rav Nachman, you're right. The right time for Yorah is in Mar Cheshvan. The right time for it to start raining is in Mar Cheshvan. But b'yimei Yoel ben Petuel niskayim mikrazeh. This pasuk is talking about what happened in the days of Yoel ben Petuel. Rashi in the first pasuk in Yoel says Yoel ben Petuel is Yoel ben Shmuel, but he was Pita Lekel b'tfilaso. That Shmuel was mefata Kodesh Baruch Hu with his tefila. He caused Kodesh Baruch Hu to he softened up HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his tefillah, so that's why he's called Petuel. So Yoel ben Petuel, that's when this happened, that the Yorah, the Malkosh, all of it came down during Chodesh Nisan, meaning even the first rains that should have had happened months earlier waited until Nisan that year. Why? What happened? In the Nevuah of Yoel, it says that there was a plague, there were locusts that were eating up all the grain, and Yeser and the Pasuk says that Yeser HaGazam Achala Arba, that that whatever was left over, the arba ate up. And yesar arba achal yelak, yesar yelak achal chasil. The pasuk says whatever grain was left over was eaten up by grasshoppers and locusts. So osa shana yotza adar lo yarduk shamim. That year chodesh adar came and didn't rain, so they didn't plant yet. V'yardalem revir rishona, the be'achad v'nisan, the first rain came on the first day of Nisan. So amar lahem navli Yisrael, Yoel told the Jewish people, even though the chodesh Nisan already began, and chodesh Nisan is normally the time that we're harvesting grain, so that obviously it's not time to plant, it's time to harvest already. Tzu'u v'ziru, go out and plant your fields. So amar lo, the Jewish people said, mishiyesh lo kav chitim o kabayim sa'orin, if a person has a little bit of wheat or a little bit of barley, so what should you do? Yochlenu v'yichya or Yisraenu v'yamus? Well, if I have a little bit of food, if I have a little bit of something, if I eat it, I might survive another day. If I plant it, I'm going to die. Meanwhile, I'm going to plant and wait for it to grow. I don't have anything to eat. What do you mean plant in Chodesh Nisan? Sam Lehem, Yoel told the Jewish people, Aval Bikain, even though you only have very little grain left, Tzu'uv Ziru, you have to go and plant right now. And in the Zuchus of their trust of the word of the Navi, and they went and they planted a little bit of grain, whatever little they had. Naslam Nes v'niskalu lahem masha b'ksalin u'masha b'chori nemalin. Nes happened, and they uncovered a small amount of more grain that they didn't even know that they had, that was hidden in the walls, that the mice hid away in the walls, or that was hidden in the sand, in the holes that the ants made in the ground. So yes, they found a little bit more. So yatzav zaru. So then they were able to plant whatever they had previously before they found this little bit extra to eat. So Sheni Shlishi Revi, on the second, third, and fourth day of Chodesh Nisan, they planted. Again, the first rain happened on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So then Yoel told them to plant. They had this back and forth, and they planted on days 2, 3, and 4 of Nisan. V'yardam l'Revi Ashniya, and then the second rain came right after they finished planting, b'chamisha b'Nisan, on the fifth day of Nisan. And a miracle happened, and hikrivu omer b'shisha asa b'Nisan. The grain grew so quickly, they were ready to be makriv the carbon omer from the new grain on the 16th day of Nisan. Nim says, tevua hagedela b'shisha chadashim, grain that normally takes 6 months to grow, gedela b'achad asur yom, grew instead in 11 days. So from the time that the rain happened on the fifth day of Nisan, after they planted, until Tazayin Nisan, where they were able to bring the carbon omer, it was only 11 days, and they were able to bring carbon omer. Nimsa omer akariv mitvua shel shisha chadashim, kariv mitvua shel achad asur yom. An omer that's normally brought from grain that grows over 6 months was brought from grain that grew over 11 days. The Achronim raised a question, a seasonal question actually. The Achronim raised a question, well, wait a second. It says in many places in Shas that you're not allowed to be Mekayim a mitzvah with something that happens al yedei neis, that you're not allowed to be nena from Maisa Nisim, and you're not allowed to do mitzvahs from Maisa Nisim, right? That's the Chanukah Shaila, that we're doing the mitzvah of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash with Shem and Shal Neis. So how are we allowed to do, so we ask the same Shaila in Chanukah, but the same Shaila is asked over here, how are they allowed to do the Korban Omer with Tavua Shal Neis? So in the Tshuvas Yad Chanukah, he says that no, only if there's a Neis that's not Melubash and Teva at all, you're not allowed to be Mekayim Mitzvos. Meaning if the grain would have just come down Min HaShemayim or something like that, where there's no Teva associated at all. But a Neis that's Melubash and Teva, that you plant and it rains and it grows, it just grows way quicker than you could have expected. So that's a nace that happens within the realm of Teva, that you're allowed to be nana from such a nace. Val osa ador huomer, the Gemara continues, and about that generation, the Pasuk in Tehillim says, hazor bidima birina yiktsaru, that they, when they were planting with tears, but it, with song, they were harvesting. Haluch eli chuvachal nose mashach hazara. Bayavavri nose elu mosav, obviously the Pasuk continues, that they planted bidima and Bitzar, because they didn't have what to eat, and then they were kotzer the tevuah with rina and with simcha, they were able to celebrate. The Rif and the Ben Yoyada both point out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was only made the nes to be megalit to them what was hidden in the walls and what was hidden in the holes in the ground after they already trusted and they planted their last bit of food that they had. So that's why Tazor and Bedima, meaning if they already had found the food in the walls prior to planting, like the Gemara makes it sound that it happened, that they had this whole conversation, they found the food food in the walls and then they planted, then it wouldn't have been Hazor and Bedima. Then it wouldn't have been planting with tears. They would have had what to eat. No, but at the time that they were planting, they had no idea what they were going to eat, and then they found the food in the walls. So my halach yelich uvachon nosim eshach hazara. What is a bayav avrina, etc.? Who's that talking about? We already said the people are Hazor and Bedima brina yiktzaru. So what's that part of the pasuk about? Some Rabbi Yehuda, explains that pasuk is talking about the ox shark shuchore sholichu bocha, that the shark, when it's plowing, is plowing with great difficulty, and it's like ki'ilu, it's crying. That's halachelichu vacha nosei meshach hazara. The nosei, the one who's carrying the kli that the zera is in, that the seeds are in, the one the animal that has to do all the work is crying ubechazirasu, when it comes back from the field at the end of its plowing, the tavua were already started to sprout from the ground till the ochel chazes minatelem, to the point that the shor is able to eat a little bit from what he had just planted. So that's also one of the great nisim of the growing of the grain during that year. Vizeu bo yavavrina, and that's the bo yavavrina, that not only was it that the people were planting bedima and ultimately harvested birina, but the shor that was doing its work with bechia was able to, on its way back already from that row of the field, was already able to benefit from that which it had just planted. There is a discussion in Poskim about if you have in Hilchas Pesach, if you have grain that you could tell that mice had gotten to, that mice had chewed on the grain, are you allowed to use that grain that for making matzah on Pesach, or do you have to assume that the saliva of the mice might have been machmitz the grain, and it might be a chimitz problem, might be a problem with chametz? So Shulchan Aruch and Sim Tofen and Gimel writes that you shouldn't, that if you didn't were not borer chitim, that meaning if you weren't careful to sift out or to remove any chitim that achbarim may have eaten from, don't worry, you don't have to be choshesh for chametz, because the Rabbeinu Peretz says that there are those that are knowing to be borer chitim echad echad, to make sure that each stalk of wheat was never touched by mice. But you don't have to worry about that, because the chitim with a little bit of saliva are probably not going to become chametz, and even if they do, they're going to become, when you grind it into flour, it's going to become batal be'elef. This is all happening before Pesach. It's going to be batal be'elef in the other grain. So the achronim discuss, okay, that's as far as chashash chimutz. What about shmur matzah? Can you make shmur matzah out of grain that you didn't check that mice didn't eat from the grain? So in the Tshuvas Ksav Sofer in Or Chaim Simon Peches, he says that he discusses whether there's nisra of making matzah's mitzvah from such wheat, and he says, well, hakriveinu alav hachasecha. In general, when we do a mitzvah, we say it has to be with the most respectable types of items. So would you give such grain to your governor? So if it's something that people are moeis in, so then you can't use it for the mitzvah. But if it's not something that people are moeis in, it's not something that people are disgusted by, then you're allowed to use it for the mitzvah. However, in Chak Yaakov, on the side of the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tav Samach Vav, he says, no, you're not allowed to use it. There's a chashash chimutz, and the extra criteria of shmura matzah requires that it's shamur from any chashash chimutz. And if an achbar saliva touch that grain, then you have to be choshish for chimutz. So in the Tshuvas Levushei Mordechai, he brings a raya from our Gemara that there's no such chashash. Because what's the raya from our Gemara? What does the Gemara say? That they didn't have anything to eat. So what did they do? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed them that there's grain in the holes in the wall. And Rashi says, what are grains doing in holes in the wall? Why is there grain in the holes in the wall? So Rashi says, because the Achbarim put it away. This was grain that mice got to, and the mice hid away this grain. So you see that they were eating that on Pesach, that they were using that grain. They must have used that for the matzah, because they didn't do the Karban Omer until the second day of Pesach. So you see, apparently, that grain that mice had gotten to is not going to be a problem. So in the halachic context, this Gemara comes up. Okay, now the Gemara tells us, once we have that conversation between Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak, we're going to have many more conversations that are recorded now between Rav Nachman and Yitzchak. Some of the Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak, what does the pasuk mean when it says the pasuk that describes in the days of Yehoram ben Achav, Ki kara Hashem l'rav v'gam ba'al aretz sheva shanim, b'hanach sheva shanim, during those 7 years of famine, may achu, what did people eat? How were they able to survive without food? So Amalei, Rav Yitzchak said to Rav Nachman, Hachiyam Rabbi Yochanan, we have a tradition from Rabbi Yochanan that this was their eating schedule. Shana rishona achu mashav batim, the first year of the famine, they ate whatever was left in their homes. Shnia achu mashav besados, the second year, they ate whatever svichim were growing in the field on their own, you know, these little stubble that was growing from the ground, which was not very good, but it was something to eat. Shalishis besar behemot Torah, third year, they shechted all the kosher animals they could, and that's what they ate. Revius besar behemot Tameya, the fourth year, they already started eating non-kosher animals because there were no kosher animals left to eat. Chamishis besar shkatzim rumasim, the fifth year, they had to eat the meat of rodents and other disgusting things that you normally wouldn't eat. Shishis, in the sixth year, besar b'neim u'b'noseim, they already started eating the flesh of their children. Probably children died of starvation, and they were eating the flesh of their deceased children. Shavias besar zro oseim, and in the seventh year, they were eating the flesh off of their own arms. L'kayim ha'shenemar ish besar zro yochelu, meaning obviously that's not a normal thing to do. A person would sooner die of starvation than eat the flesh off of their own arms. And the Salvation pointed out that what this means is that they were delirious, meaning they had gone crazy from starvation. We don't know what it means. Baruch Hashem, we don't have that experience. We don't know what it means to starve. When our children say, "I'm starving," it means I haven't had a snack in 4 minutes, right? But when a person is actually starving, it means that a person can go delirious. They go out of their minds. Rav Nachman also said to Yitzchak in another conversation, because you have kedusha in your midst, Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, "Lo avo beir, I'm not going to come into the city. I'm not going to bring my shechina into Yerushalayim." I would have thought the opposite, that when you're acting with kedusha, then Hakadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring his shechina into Yerushalayim. So Amalei, Rabbi Yitzchak explained to Rav Nachman, "Hachiyam Rabbi Yochanan." We have a tradition from Rabbi Yochanan to address this problem as well. That Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu, "Lo avo beYerushalayim shel mayla at shavi Yerushalayim shel mata." Where Hakadosh Baruch Hu is saying that I'm not going to go into Yerushalayim shel mayla, which is up in the heavens, until I come into Yerushalayim shel mata. And the pasuk is telling me that before there's going to be kadosh b'kribecha and Hashem is going to be mashrish chinaso in Yerushalayim shel mata, then Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, "I'm not going to be mashrish chinah, my own shechinah, in Yerushalayim shel mayla. I'm not going to enjoy my Yerushalayim if I don't get to be present in the Yerushalayim of my children, in the Yerushalayim of Klal Yisrael lemata. Umiyikir Yerushalayim lemayla. Is there such a thing as Yerushalayim up in Shemayim?" Says Marin, absolutely. Tchsiv pasuk says Yerushalayim abnuya ki ir shechubrola yachdav. The Yerushalayim shel mata is built like a city that is chubrola, that is connected to it, that is parallel to it. So you see, there's another Yerushalayim somewhere that parallels the Yerushalayim down here. That's Yerushalayim shel mayla. Another conversation between these Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yitzchak. Varmalei Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yitzchak. Ma'idachsev. Rav Nachman must be liking Rabbi Yitzchak's answers, so he keeps asking him questions. What does the pasuk mean when it says, "Uba'achas yivaru v'ichsul musar avalim etu"? According to the simple reading of the pasuk, it means that we did a terrible avera with one particular avodah zara, and we acted foolishly, and we were closed off like an eitz to be makabel musar. We wouldn't be makabel musar, and everything that we suffered was all for naught, because we could have just been listened to the musar when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent his neviim to try to set us straight. So wait a second, really only one avodah zara? We did so many avodah zaras in every single city. You look at the Pesukim in Navi, Ki Mispar Arecha Hayu Elohecha, the Pesuk in Yirmiyahu says, as many cities as we had, that's how many Avodah Zarah we had, because every city was another Avodah Zarah. So we're saying we did only one Avodah Zarah, what does that mean? So Amalei, Rav Yitzchak answered, Rav Nachman Hachiyam Rabbi Yochanan. Again, we have a tradition from Rabbi Yochanan to answer this question. Achas Hishem of Ha'eres Rishon B'Gehenim, that there's one particular Avera, not one Avodah Zarah, there's one particular Avera that causes the Rishon to burn in Gehenim. Mahi, and what's that? Avodah Zarah. That's the Avera of Avodah Zarah. That's the most impactful Avera on the fate of Rasha'im in Gehenim. And the Pasuk is saying, because of that one Avera of Avodah Zarah, then Yivaru Yisrafu, the Rasha'im are going to burn in Gehenim. So how do I know that it's a reference to Avodah Zarah? K'siv hacha, Musa Avolim Eitzu, Ksiv Hasam, Hevel Hema Masi Tatuim. There you have another pasuk that refers to Hevel as Tavodazara as Hevel. So you see that over here, when the pasuk says Musar Avolim Eitzu, that we were closed off like a piece of wood from accepting the Musar about the Havalib that was Musar about Avodazara. Vamlein Menachem Rabbi Yitzchak, another conversation. Menachem says, Rabbi Yitzchak, Maidachsiv, what does the pasuk mean in the Toch of Yirmiyoh and Navi? Kishtayim Ra'os Asa Ami, my nation had done two evil things. Tartinu Davu, we only did two Averos. Esin V'arba Shvikalu, what about the other 24 Averos that the Navi Yecheskel enumerates that we had done? Those don't count? We only did two Averos? That's how Rashi understands in the bottom Rashi. Esin V'arba Shvikalu B'tmiya, B'parshas HaTishbot, Chavtal Averos Shavru, there were 24 Averos that we violated. So some have a girsa that it's Esin V'shtayim Shvikalu, that's the girsa of the Aruch, meaning that if you're identifying that we did two Averos, and the Navi identified 24 Averos, so we're saying, what happened to the other 22? So it's not really 24, meaning two of them we do account for. It's what happened to the other 22. However, Rashi's second pshat clearly only works if you have the gears of Chavdalit. Lishna Achrina says, Rashi, Sha'avru al Chavdalit Svarim, that we violated the messages of all 24 Sifrei Tanakh. So it's very kind to us to say that we only did two Averos when we violated all of Chavdalit Sifrei Tanakh. So Amalei, so Yitzchak said back to Rav Nachman, Hachiyam Rabbi Yochanan, once again, Rabbi Yochanan solved the problem. Achashi shkula kishtayim, that we did one avera that was as bad as two, that was doubly evil, and we didn't even realize that this one thing we do is doubly insulting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umayniyu avodazar, and that's particularly avodazar, because avodazar is not only an avera that we go and choose to worship something that's worthless, but look what we're doing, look what we're turning our back on. We're turning our back on the Ribbono Shel Olam, so that's even much more painful. Tichsiv, because the pasuk says kishtayim ros asa. Number one, my nation has done a terrible thing by abandoning me, the source of life. And what are they going to? They're going to this broken nothingness. They're going to Avodah Zarah. So that's the Musar. Uksiv Bahu, the Pasuk says prior to that, Ki Ivru Iye Chitiyim Uru'u V'kedar Shilchu V'zbornu Ma'od Ha'hemer Goy Elohim V'hema Lo Elohim V'ami Hemer Kavodah B'lo Yoil. Look at the Iyim, the other people who are the other of the Avodah Zarah who live near you, and see how they behave. Do they abandon their gods? And their gods are worthless. Their gods aren't anything. And you, Klal Yisrael, abandon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for what? To go to Baruch Tishbarim? That's what you're abandoning HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? So it's a double evil, not only for what we're doing, but for what we're turning our back on. Meaning we should know better, because we've had an experience of a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Gemara brings a braisa that explains why the Navi says to look dafka at these nations, at the Kutim and the Kadorim, more than any of the other nations. They were all doing Avodah Zarah. So Tanu Kutim Ovdim La'esh. The Kutim worshipped fire. The Kadriim Ovdim La'mayim. And the Kadriim worshipped water. The Afal Pi Sheyodim Shamayim Mechabin Asa'esh. The Kutim L'chora should have made a simple cheshbon. Wait a second. If I'm worshipping fire, and those guys are worshipping water, and their Avodah Zarah extinguishes my Avodah Zarah, maybe I should abandon my Avodah Zarah and go to theirs. Theirs is obviously stronger. Water is obviously stronger than fire. And still, lo imiru Elohim, with all the evidence in front of them that water is stronger than fire, they still didn't abandon their worship of the fire. Sa'ami, hemir kvodo, below Yawil, and look what Klal Yisrael does. We exchange HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what? For what benefit do we have in doing so? V'amalei Nachman Rabbi Yitzchak. Conversation continues. Rav Nachman says Rabbi Yitzchak, what does the pasuk mean when it says that when Shmuel got old, Umisiv Shmuel Kulehai, did Shmuel ever really get old? Va'bar Chamishim Ushtayim Hava, Da Amar Mar, Meis, B'Chamishim Ushtayim Shana, Zeh, we saw Shmuel Aramasi. Shmuel was only 52 years old when he died. How do I know that? Because we said that if someone dies at the age of 52, you say, oh, he died the death of Shmuel Haramasi. So you see very clearly that Shmuel never got old. He died when he was only 52. For 2 years, he was in his house until his mother gave him up to bring him to the Mishkan for Eli to take care of him, and then after that she brought him to the Beis HaMikdash, and it says Vayashav Sham Ad Olam. And what's Olam? So Rashi explains over here that Olam of a Levi is 50 years, because in Ben Chamishim Shana Yashav Mitzvah Avod V'lo Yavod Od, that he no longer does the Avodas HaLeviyah
after the age of 50. So you see, Shmuel lived beyond the first two years of his life, Olam, the Olam of a Levi, the full career of a Levi. So Mitzvah Eisan raises the question that the Gemara in Chulin says, no, that was only in the Midbar where the Avodah was Bekasef, where they had to carry things, that a Levi becomes Pasul B'Shanim, that he ages out. But in Shiloh and Beis Olamim, where there was no Avodah Bekasef, there was nothing to schlep around anymore. The Mishkan stayed in the same place for over three centuries, so the Levium didn't become Pasul by aging out. They only became puzzled when their voice was no good anymore. So Shmuel was in the time of Mishkan Shiloh, so he should not have become puzzled at a certain age. So the Olam of Shmuel's from Shmuel's lifetime shouldn't have been Chamishim Shana. So he explains based on the Ramban. The Ramban writes that even though the Doros, the Levium are only puzzled of this Masa over years, and that which we say the Doros, the Levium, are not possible, that's as far as Shir and other Avodas. But for Avodas Masa, even the Doros for Avodas Masa, Levium are going to be possible. So there is such a concept of 50 years even for a Levi. But the bottom line is that Shmuel only lived till the age of 52. So how can you say that Zakan Shmuel? So back in the Gemara, so Amalei, Rabbi Yitzchak answers Rav Nachman again from a tradition from Rabbi Yochanan. Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zikna Kavtza Lav, he aged prematurely. Dechsiv, because the Pasuk says, after Shaul didn't fulfill what he was supposed to do by wiping out all of Amalek, and he kept some of the animals around, and he kept Agag, the Melech Amalek, around. So Nichamti Kiyim Lachti Yashol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I regret now making Shaul the king. So Amal Lefan, I want to get rid of him. So Amal Lefan, so Shmuel says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shalom, Shekaltani Kemosh of Aaron, you yourself treat me as an equal of Moshe and Aaron. Dechsiv, Moshe of Aaron B'chanav, Ushmuel B'karei Shemo. That by the same token, they say Moshe of Aaron B'chanav, you say Shmuel B'karei Shemo. So you see, I'm equal of Moshe and Aaron. Ma Moshe and Aaron lo bitul ma'asidim b'chayeim. Moshe and Aaron, their ma'asidim, their talmidim were not battle during their lifetimes, because the reference Rashi says is to Yoshua, that Yoshua survived both Moshe and Aaron. So afani lo yispatul ma'asidim b'chayeim. Why should I have to see my talmid, the person I put in place, Shaul HaMelech, that he has to predecease me? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, now I'm in a bind. Hey Chiyavid, what should I do? Le Mishol, should I kill Shaul? Lo kashav Shmuel. Shmuel is not allowing me to. Lema Shmuel, should I kill Shmuel? Adzuzut Amrani of Asrei. Younger people are going to be, because he's so young, people are going to say not nice things about him, that he must have died so young because he did some sort of terrible avera. So lo lema Shaul v'lo lema Shmuel. What should I do? Keep them both alive? Kvarigia Malchus David. It's already time for the Malchus David to begin. And you can't have an overlap of one Malchus to the next. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, akpitz alav zikna. You know what I'll do? I'm going to kill Shmuel, but first I'm going to make him old, so no one will. I'll make him look very old, so no one will think that he did some sort of terrible avera. They'll just realize that he died of old age. The Achronim are bothered by the Kasha that Shmuel's whole time was that Moshe and Aaron never had to see their talmidim die. What? They never saw Yoshua die, but they never had to see their talmidim die. So the Marsha says it's not Yoshua; it's referring to Elazar. So Ben Yoda says, yeah, but Nadav and Aviyu died during the life of Aaron. So you see that in the life of Moshe. So you see that Aaron is also in the spot of Ma'ase Yoda B'chayev. And you can say the Gemara means Ma'ase Yoda as far as Smicha is concerned, and Yoshua was this mach. He was only given smicha by Moshe, not by Aaron. So why is that Ma'ase Yadav Shel Aaron? And also the Nasim that learned Torah from Moshe and Aaron also died during the lifetimes of Moshe and Aaron. So Ben Yoyada says Shmuel's kavanu was about the two matanos that were given to the Bnei Yisrael in the zchus of Moshe and Aaron. It wasn't referring to their talmidim. It was about the man and the anani akavod. That even though Klal Yisrael did many averos and they even rejected the man and they called it lechem kolokel, nevertheless the man remained during the days of Moshe. And the Anani Kavod, even though they were Ovid the Egel and they left the Anani Kavod for those moments to be Ovid the Egel, nevertheless the Anani Kavod was still there for them. They came right back for them. So that's what he meant, Ma'ase Yadayim. So anyway, Hainu Dechsiv, Shol Yoshe B'Giva Tachas Eishel B'Rama. So what do you mean? The Pasuk says that he was in Giva and Rama, that they were the same place. V'chima Inyan Giva, Eitzel Rama. A Giva is a low place. A Giva was in the city of Shol in the Nachal of Shevet Binyamin. Rama is the city of Shmuel HaRamas. Asi in the Nachal of Shevet Ephraim. They're not the same place. Elomelech is to tell you that Shaul was ra'ui to die right away after he didn't fulfill what he was supposed to with the killing out of Amalek. But mi garm l'shaul sheyesh begiva shtei shana mechza, what allowed Shaul to live another 2.5 years in the Giva? Tfilas shel Shmuel Haramasi. It's the tefillah of Shmuel Haramasi. So Shaul was physically located begiva, but it was in the zechus of the Rama. It was in the zechus of the tefillah of Shmuel Haramasi. V'chimitchi gavra mekame gavra. Do we push one person away in the favor of another person? Says Gemara, in Dam Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Am Rabbi Yehuda son, May dechsev al kein chatzavti b'neviim haraktim b'imreifi b'maseim lo ne'amar. It doesn't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed the neviim because of their evil deeds. Ela b'imreifi, it's because of a gezeira, something that was said, like the mice of Shmuel, that he died early, not because of anything that he did, but because there was a gezeira that it was time for David to be the melech. Alma mitchi gavra mikami gavra. So you see, the fate of one person to become a melech could push away another person who was in a previous position of leadership. Rav Nachman Rabbi Yitzchak Rav Yassim Yisudasa. Another story with Rav Nachman Rabbi Yitzchak. They were sitting and having a meal. So Amalei Rav Nachman Rabbi Yitzchak lemi mar milsa. He said, maybe tell me a dvar Torah. So Amalei. So Rabbi Yitzchak says, Rav Nachman, Hachi Yom Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Masichin Besuda. No, Rabbi Yochanan taught me you're not allowed to speak during a meal. Shema Yaktim Kana Leveshet V'Yavoli De Sakana, because you could choke if you talk in the middle of a meal, and it will come to a sakana. So Basa Desod, after the meal was over, Amalei Rabbi Yitzchak said to Rav Nachman, now I'll tell you a dvar Torah. Hachi Yom Rabbi Yochanan, again quoting Rabbi Yochanan, all of this was teachings of Rabbi Yochanan. Yaakov Avinu Lomes. Yaakov Avinu never died. Samalei says, what do you mean? The Pesukim in Chumash, V'chibichti, Saptu Saptenaya, they gave him a hesped, V'chantu Chantaya, and they mummified him, V'kavru Kibraya, and they buried him. So they did all that to a live man? Samalei, Mikra Nidorish, what do you want? There's a Pasuk. Pasuk says, Shenemar Vata Al Tira Avdi Yaakov Nu Mashem Al Techas Yisrael, Kini Moshiachem Erochuk Vezrachem Eretz Shivyam. So we Makish Hu L'Zaru, the Pasuk associates Yaakov with his children. Ma Zaru B'chaim, just like when HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Bnei Yisrael May Eretz Shivyam, he's going to take out the living Bnei Yisrael May Eretz Shivyam. Afu, so to Yaakov Avinu, at the time that we're taken, May Eretz Shivyam is also B'chaim, he's also going to be alive. So a lot of discussion, obviously, in HaKadosh, what that means, that Yaakov Avinu is alive. It's also interesting that this is quoted in Halacha, they're not supposed to talk at the time of the Seuda, and all the Achronim are bothered that's nobody listens to that, right? Meaning when you want to talk to somebody, what do you say? Let's go grab a coffee, let's go have lunch. That's dafka when you're not allowed to talk. So anyway, a lot of discussion in the Achronim about that. We'll pick up with Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bezos Hashem tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah. Pleasure.